More than 600 FBI personnel are helping with the sniper investigation, including handling lab work in the case. Some evidence being examined thoroughly are letters, apparently handwritten, believed to have been left by the sniper, NPR's David Kestenbaum reports.
Gerald Richards says that when he writes the capital G in his name, he starts from the bottom, goes up, makes a small loop over to the right, then straight down and makes a bowl at the bottom. Richards is a forensic document examiner. He worked at the FBI for 23 years.
Every person's writing is unique. Many people write very close, but no two people write identically.
Richard says he doesn't think it's possible to learn anything about someone's personality from handwriting, but trained document examiners can match documents, and their testimony is regularly admissible in court. So Richard says FBI agents will be comparing any notes they find to others on file. If the writing isn't disguised, it's possible they could get lucky.
All of the agencies have different files. Secret Service has their anonymous letter file, which has threatening letters to the president, to members of Congress, what have you. The FBI has a similar type of file. They're not tremendously extensive, but they target people who are usually problematic.
But if it is the sniper who wrote this letter, would he necessarily have written others?
My opinion on this? Almost definitely. Because the one thing I found in my research is that these people write lots and lots of letters.
Todd Conklin is an expert on workplace violence. He's trained FBI agents. Recently, he's been studying angry notes sent to one of the nation's nuclear weapons labs, over 1,000 of them, some written in blood. If the shooter did write these letters, Conklin says they say a lot about him.
The shooter in this case, or the sniper in this case, wants to communicate and has gone to quite a bit of effort. They've sat down, they've taken out a sheet of paper, they've thought about it, they've even added a postscript.
Once a letter writer, always a letter writer, he says. FBI agents will also analyze the letter for fingerprints. They'll analyze the ink and the paper. They'll look to see if something like a hair from a human or even a pet got stuck in there. Patrick Webb, a former FBI agent, thinks it's unlikely those techniques will be useful, but you never know, he says. Webb worked on the Unabomber investigation. The Unabomber sent the letter to the New York Times.
The letters went to the FBI laboratory, and one of the things that they found on one of the pages was some indented writing, and it said, "Call Nathan R. Wednesday, 7 p.m.
The lab concluded that someone had written those words on a pad and torn off the page, but the writing left an indent on the pages below, one of which the Unabomber used for his letter.
We began a giant research project to try and interview people named Nathan R. across the country. It was quite an undertaking. If your name was Nathan and you had a last name beginning with R, we might have talked to you sometime in the mid-90s. I think we talked to like 20,000 people, and honestly, it was unavailing. It gave us nothing. But it's one of those things you had to do.
One of the Unabomber's letters eventually tripped him up. His brother, David Kaczynski, came forward to say, "This sounds like my brother, Ted Kaczynski." Patrick Webb says he thinks the FBI might have solved the case without that tip, though. The Unabomber's last letter quoted an obscure, out-of-print book. A review of library records would have shown that Ted Kaczynski had requested that book on interlibrary loan. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.